Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi everyone, welcome to Leg Hole. It's Michael Legg here. That's not theme tune. I don't like theme tune. Can we stop talking about theme tune? I hate the theme tune. It's an abomination of a fucking thing. And it's long. It's too long. I have the power to edit it, but I don't have the will to be bothered to edit it. So, you know, those are a clash of things right there. Hey, you never guess what, Leg Hole. What would you call the fans of Lego? Hole trolls. Hey, hole trolls. you never guess who's for.
The more I think about that, the worse it sounds.
But do you know what? It's the sort of people they are.
Absolutely. I have never known anybody like more accurately sum up their fans than that. That's amazing. Well done.
Thanks very much. So, hole trolls, you can never guess who's fallen into the leg hole today. It is none other than brilliant comedian Bethany Black.
Yay! Hello.
Everyone applauds. Hey, Bethany, thank you so much for accidentally falling into the leg hole today.
Yeah. Well, I was just passing and I was looking for somewhere dark to go and hide. And
there's nowhere darker.
Yeah. It's surprisingly humid in here.
Oh yeah, it's got AC, but dark and smelly and repugnant. But it does have AC, so you know, a lot of people are quite happy at the moment.
Very much like Tesco.
Exactly, very much like Tesco. And do you know what? You always think the leg hole is open late, but it closes, and when it closes, you feel so sad.
Especially on a Sunday, you're like, "Why is it shut at 5 on a Sunday? That is not what I expected."
What is this, God Town?
Yeah,
fucking open your leg hole a bit later. Anyway, listen, Bethany, this is what's going to happen to not just you, but you and me and our troll holes today, our hole trolls. What's going to happen is I'm going to ask you. I know it's brilliant. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you 10 questions, from that. Are you confident that you know who you are and what sort of person you are?
I think so. I've had like years and years of therapy to just come to terms with the failing meat suit that I occupy. And I'm quite confident I have a level of self-awareness.
Great. Well, don't feel awful if all that therapy unravels today.
Yeah.
So it's 10 questions.
Brilliant.
And I'm going to put together a psychological profile of you by the end. So I tell you what, even if you don't know who you are, we will.
Interesting. I've literally today for the first time in over a week tested negative for COVID. I've been really ill for a week, and today's the first day I'm feeling fine.
You are our second COVID person. There's still only one because you are negative now.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dan Mersch has been on this podcast spreading his fucking germs.
That was it. So, if I'd have had it now, I'd have possibly suspected I got it from him. But,
exactly. It's still wafting around here in the leg hole. There's a lot wafting around here in the leg hole.
So my voice sounds really weird at the moment. I'm fully aware of that.
No, it sounds perfect. Sounds perfect. Sounds perfect. We're very, very, very delighted. I'm sorry I haven't tidied.
Don't worry.
10 questions. The first question and the last question are always the same. Everyone who falls into the leg hole gets the same question. But Bethany, the golden eight right there in the middle, they're all specially created for you.
So here we go. I'm so excited about this.
It's very exciting. It is exciting.
It's really exciting. And having no idea, because I've not even, I don't listen to podcasts. I've not heard tune to this. Yeah. I'm an adult. I've got things to do. I'm busy. So I can only imagine that Leghole has the same tune as Stingray.
That's because no matter what, that's still quite a decent theme tune. The people, the whole trolls listening right now, they're jealous of you because they've heard that tune. Even if it's just once, it's a billion times too many.
Now I'm tempted. Now I'm tempted to I'm gonna have to.
Put it this way, I've warned you. I've warned you. Bethany Black, question number one.
Yes.
Do you like me?
Yes, I do.
Do you know, it's been good for my ego, this podcast.
I bet it has.
Only one person has sort of acted a bit arsy towards me. Everyone else goes, I quite like you.
You're one of my favourite people to make comedy with. I am always happy when I see you on a bill that I'm going to be on. Because we have the same reaction to most of our peers, which is...
I think so. I think that's fair. It's a delight being on the same bill as you, always, every single time.
It's always that thing, and I know that I'm not for everyone, and it's great to be, and I know, you can't go through this life assuming that everyone's going to like you, and you got to take your little pleasures where you can. And these days, one of my favourite pleasures is pretty much every Monday, I can guarantee that someone somewhere has got an email that says that I'm on a bill with them and has gone, oh, for fuck's sake.
Do you know what? I've long stopped looking at bills before getting to a gig. Why have more than one shit time?
Exactly,
You could have days of shitness just worrying,
Yeah, when people go, I was thinking, maybe I could get you to do this gig. And they go, oh, how much? And they go, they tell you a price and you go, that's not enough. And they go, well, I was thinking that, but I've managed to sort you out a ride share with this other comedian. You're like, it's definitely not enough. You would need to pay me three times what you're offering to share a car with that cunt.
I'm not kidding you. I've genuinely had that thought. I have said to my agent, whatever the fee is, I will pay them for me not to do this gig. I would rather lose the money that I was supposed to earn than do that fucking gig with, let's face it, those cunts.
So
I'm going to obviously I have to start the whole psychological profile, so I'm going to write down you were too nice there. That's fucking annoying, isn't it? Hates comedians.
There we go.
Hates all comedians.
Comedy's really not for me.
It's not my thing. It's not my bag.
I'm not to my taste. and I don't understand why anyone else would waste their time.
That has been said on Leghole before. Like, brought up, you know, the problems that there might be with the podcast. I'm like, well, I don't care. It's not for me, is it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
This has got nothing to do with me once it's finished. I don't care.
Last week, I was doing a mums and babies gig, right? So it's babies up to the age of 18 months, and very, very tired women who have absolutely no idea what the hell they've come out for. And my very good friend Katie Mulgrew, who runs it, was saying, "Oh, just like if they're a bit quiet, like just obviously don't worry. They are quiet, but don't worry." It's like, I don't do this for them.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah yeah. You know, I've done those gigs, and I've done gigs where it's literally just babies. There's it's not like 3-year-old kids or anything like that. And when you get a round of applause, it's amazing because really they're just burping their babies, so it's really light.
Yeah.
It's this weird noise. You go, oh, thanks.
It's basically there and Download Festival, where I have audience members with their boobs out in front of me. That's like literally the two environments where I'm most likely to see boob.
And you get your pen out to sign them, and sometimes they're okay, but then sometimes they aren't.
Sometimes they really aren't. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes they really, really, really aren't.
Yeah.
Okay, question number two, Bethany Black.
Yes.
Here we go. If you were a dog just for one day, would you still come on my podcast?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That would be fun to come on your podcast as a dog. And obviously it'd be frustrating attempting to answer the questions.
Oh, no, dogs are very good at answering questions, really, by just staring at you like you're the idiot.
Yeah, yeah. Or just going, I mean, like, close you can get, ref. That's as close as you can get to a yes.
Yeah. Or just do a shit.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
That's a good answer.
I heard a dog last week that actually said rough. It was the weirdest thing. Its bark was just it going rough, rough. And I could, like, properly hear the F at the end of it. It was amazing. So happy.
Do you know what? I'm afraid I can one up you here. I've literally, there's a dog in Lewisham that says, it doesn't woof, it says woof. And it's really fucking woof. In a sort of Pierce Brosnan voice.
What I love about that is that there is clearly some mad scientist who's putting human brains into dogs.
Yeah.
Because those are really location-specific ways of a dog making a noise. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you suspect, like, if they were in France, they're going woof, and people are going, what is that dog doing? It should be going, ouah, ouah.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's clearly, if Pierce Brosnan's brain has been put into a dog, he's realised that, listen, if I want to get away with being a dog, I better know the language. So he's learnt it.
He's properly going method for this.
Yeah. Woof. And this is for Mamma Mia 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Weirdly. All right.
I have to put down adorable then on your... I'll be honest with you, this is by far and away the most positive thing I've said to anyone on this podcast. Well, I mean, the very... Firstly, I've got three dogs in my house at the moment. So if you were a dog for a day, you'd have a lovely time around here.
Yeah, obviously.
And just the idea that having one day of being a dog and you would spend any of that time right here in the leg hole. Well, you know, I'm a bit teary.
Well, you know, being a dog for a day is obviously going to be the most fun. Like, you're going to get up. You're going to be dead excited to see everybody that you love. You're going to get to go out for a long walk and everybody's going to be happy to see you.
And you can bite some of the comedians you don't like.
Yeah, you can bite some of the comedians that you don't like, and you're going to have somebody attempting to stop you from killing yourself every time you find something that smells like it tastes good. Like, I need that. I need that just generally. Like, that's a much better day. So doing that and going, do you know what? Yeah, it would be fun to come on your podcast during that day. Of course it would.
Honestly, you're making me adore you even more. I'm going to write down double adorable. Double adorable. There you go. You've got me singing and everything. So now this is question number... Oh, we're on to question number three. Bethany Black.
Yes.
What's the most of money you've ever spent on something you know is definitely shit.
The most money that I've ever spent on something that I definitely know is shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know. I have such a weird relationship to money, being autistic. Like, because I don't always understand. I don't understand the value of money, and I don't understand how things work together. So I'll go, oh, that sounds absolutely amazing. I'll get that, and then it arrives, and I'm like, well, that was rubbish. But at least it was only £200 or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
It's like,
what? Only £200? Yeah, it was only £200 for that thing that I'm never going to use. Oh, shit. Yeah, no, that's a lot of money, isn't it? Oh, God, right. I've ruined my week now.
I'm too aware, unfortunately. I'm way the other way.
Yeah, this is, and so I have absolutely zero concept, which is weird considering that like economics is one of my absolute autistic special interests. That said, I think it's because I find it fascinating because I don't understand it. It's like trying to learn something else. It's, and I'm like, oh, now that, and I know the theory behind it now, which is great, but it still doesn't mean that I have any understanding of the value of money. I think probably the thing that I spent the most on, one of the cars that I had. I bought a car for work. I mean, I needed to buy a car for work, and I had a choice. Sure. And I went for one that I just enjoyed driving rather than that was functional or worked properly. Like, it was an old car. Like, it was cheap enough. It was like, it was a £1,000 car.
Okay, right.
So it was...
That is cheap for a car, I guess. This is something I know nothing about.
Right, yeah. So it's like for a car that I was going to be using to go to gigs and to be driving around, £1,000, fine. But it was like, and I enjoyed driving it. I was like, oh, this is fun, because it was quite a big car. And I think that was the thing that I found fun about it. It was an old Ford Escort estate. And I was like, oh, this is great fun to drive around. And like, it clearly wasn't worth the amount that I spent on it. But also, not only was it not worth the amount that I spent on it, but there was a problem with the bearings on it. So that as a result of that, the tires wore down. I'd put a new set of tires on and then would need to get them replaced like every month. Like they would wear through on one side. It was like... It was a death trap. It was an absolute death trap. And I only bought it because I thought, oh, this is quite fun to drive and I like having a big car. And it was one of the worst decisions. It was a diesel car that eventually it caught fire, which diesel cars can't. They're not supposed to be able to. I have no idea how that happened.
You managed it.
I managed it. I think that's probably the most I've ever spent on something that I knew was shit, because I was like, well, all cars cost about this much, and I'm sure I'll get quite a lot of mileage out of it. And I didn't. I had it for just under a year before it completely died on me, and I ended up having to scrap it.
Do you know what?
And in that time, it cost me about £2,000 on tyres. So there we go.
Yeah. So really, it was a £3,000 car.
Because
here's the thing. I wish I had I'm doing air quotes problem with money. in as much as like everything to me sounds expensive. Every fucking thing. Like, oh, I better get a haircut. What, a haircut is what? 15 quid. 15. You have your mind's hair. I didn't ask for hair. It should be fucking free.
Oh, dear.
Fucking paying for a haircut. Luckily, I'm going bald, so that's put.
Well,
paid
that's
for that.
At least it sorted itself out, you know.
Yeah,
and you can get yourself. You can become one of those people who there's that bulldog hair clipper thing that they advertise on the back of buses. I've seen that seems to be aimed. I mean, obviously, you're completely out of the target market of that on account of everything about it seems to be aimed to English Nazis.
Right.
Do you have a body the shape of a bar of soap? Do you want to get rid of all of the hair off your head because it gets in the way when you're fighting? You need bulldog hair clippers. It's like, there seems to be a whole industry of advertising out there for people to just go and shave their own hair off, and all of them. It's just people who look like Joe Rogan, as far as the eye can see, on the advertising.
Yeah, it's just Nazi. Everyday household Nazi items.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to put down from your answer. Do you know what? You saw something that was a wreck that could have been forgotten about, and you took it in. And do you know what? I'm relying on that.
with so many people. So I'm going to put really kind.
Aww.
This is by far and away the antithesis of every leg hole that we've ever had so far. You've ruined the fucking podcast.
Have I ruined the format? Oh, no.
You fucking have. By being at least somewhat decent. No one falls in this pit and they're okay about it. Right, here we go. Question number four, Bethany Black. How yes. much do you weigh? And by that, I mean, how often do you weigh?
I don't know, like once a week, I suspect. Unless it's like food. I weigh food fairly frequently.
Oh, yeah. I meant all weighing. In fact, that's the only all thing weighing. I do weigh. Yeah. I
all weigh weighing. Food. Oh, right. No, okay. In which case.
I haven't weighed myself in 20 years, easily. No way.
Oh, I weigh myself fairly frequently just to see like whether or not I'm improving. Because if the number goes up.
Oh, I know. I already like, know. I don't need a scale.
I'm doing quite well at that. One of the saddest days, though, was about a year ago when I realised that not only am I older than Homer Simpson and heavier than Homer Simpson, I'm actually shorter than Homer Simpson as well.
Do you know what? Honestly, it is such a sad day when you realise you're older than Homer Simpson. It is very upsetting.
It is. And you go, oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, okay. I mean, and yeah, because I remember, like, I did a tweet that I did that went viral about, must have been about 6 years ago now, that just said, any of you who, like me, were the same age as Bart when The Simpsons started are now older than Homer. And I just ruined everyone's day.
Very upsetting. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So I mean, I probably weigh three times a day during when I'm cooking. Mm-hmm. So how many times? Yeah, so about three times per day when I'm cooking, and then once a week, my own weight.
That's a lot of weighing.
Yeah, it's a lot of weighing.
I've got to put down busy.
Busy, yeah, very busy.
I've also put down. Okay, I'll put that down. I don't normally take suggestions.
Oh, sorry.
No. Also, not really sure how you spell studious. Oh, that's all right. It's all right. It's not a visual podcast, is it?
Yeah, it's fine. They don't need to see.
And I can edit my fluff out, so no one will know that I'm anything less than a genius. Here we go with question number five. This is a good question.
Yeah.
This is a good one. Oh, Bethany Black.
Lay it on me. Come on, bring it in.
Get ready. How many stains have you got on you right now?
How many stains have I got on me right now?
Yep.
Ooh. None.
I've only got
one. Which is remarkable. Which... If it had been, if we'd done this later in the day, it would have been at least three. But currently,
got you
zero.
Too early for, you've fallen into the hole too early. Shit.
I have. Well, because I've only been drinking 7-Up free this morning. Not, I paid for it. Hey. But sugar-free 7-Up, which, So that's the only thing I've managed to spill on myself today.
There's barely a thing that I do that I... Well, everything that I touch falls. I could have been a good friend of Sir Isaac Newton because I would go, oh, fucking no, mate. Fucking tell me about it. Well done. Oh, did you fucking study that, did you?
I knock everything over.
Absolutely everything.
I walk into things all the time.
I'm not so bad at that.
I'm super clumsy. I am the clumsiest. Right. I managed to break my little toe 6 times during lockdown because I kept walking into the edge of tables, the edge of a bed, the edge of a footstool. Eventually, I went and ordered some trainers to wear in the house that my wife calls my safety slippers.
Nice.
Precisely for that reason, because I keep bumping into things. I've got a pair of the most hideous. I bought the trainers that were closest to slippers that I could find. These hideous sort of Adidas purple moon boot type things that are furry on the inside and soft, so that absolutely no use in any weather outside the house. Right. I wore them once to go to the car to go and put some. I was putting some stuff into the boot with the car, and that's the only time I've ever worn them out the house. One of the worst people on the planet, just some hippie guy who had white guy with ginger dreads who was clearly very sort of cycling up the hill and just being generally objectionable by his presence.
Yeah,
who as he cycled past,
I didn't see him.
You can see him, can't you? You can imagine exactly the type of person that I'm talking about. And it's not just down to... there was a whole vibe coming off him. And And he stopped and looked at me and went, oh, I really love your trainers. And he wasn't being sarcastic. And I decided at that point I could never wear them out of the house ever again. And
well, at least you didn't make him eat them.
Yeah.
You know, which is an idea, you know. He likes them so fucking much.
Yeah, so I knock things over all the time. I'm genuinely surprised right now that I don't have any stains on me. I might have some all down my back from something that I've gone and leaned up against.
Please, just message me as the day goes on.
I will do.
I can update this podcast. It's absolutely fine. But for the moment, I'm going to put down very tidy. Oh. Very tidy. And... Oh. Fucking clumsy. There we go. Now, on to the next question. Bethany Black.
Yes. right. Question six.
Here we go. Question number six. Bethany Black. What are you best at? Fighting, fucking, or bookkeeping? I mean, you're doing so well in the profile so far. This could really turn it around.
I know, this could really ruin it. fucking?
Right. Okay. Not good bookkeeper then.
No, not great at bookkeeping. I do it all at last minute as a panic. The third time that my accountant has sent me an email saying, if you don't get it to me in the next 48 hours... You will go to prison. That's usually
we were not meant to be good at that, were we? I think if a comedian is really good at looking after their books and all that stuff, and they get everything in on time, and they're not told off by their accountant, I don't think they're funny.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, yeah. It's like that heat triangle thing of like what fire triangle. You need heat, fuel, and whatever the third one is, I can't remember. But it's very much like that with comedians. There's a lot of things with comedians that very much fall into that. Like, you can either be interesting to spend time with, or you need to be able to drive as a comedian. You can't be boring and not drive. Yeah. Like, those are literally, you know, it's like they're constantly fighting against each other. That's why I drive everywhere. It's one of those things. If somebody is really good at bookkeeping, then how do you?
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Become a good comedian? How do you?
It's disappointing. Yeah. It feels like a betrayal of our art.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, I get it, like with certain comics, like, because I always find it interesting how we think about stuff. And like working with Gary Delaney recently, who I absolutely adore and really, really love his stand up. And we're doing a new material gig. And he was hugely surprised that I don't write any of my material down at all. And I just go, oh, I'll test it on stage. And if it works, I'll remember it. And if I do, then I can go and work on it and tune it up whilst I'm on stage. Whereas he has everything written down. And was like, oh, really? You don't do that? And he was like hugely surprised. Like, I thought you'd be like me. I thought you'd have it all written down. Like,
no, I think he'd have to, though, because it's, you know, it's gag after gag after gag. I could never remember that unless I wrote it down.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I've written anything down, and I don't know. And if I have, I don't know where it is.
Yeah, you know. I've got, like, I think, like, every time I go, well, the last time when I went and moved house and I cleared out my room, I found like half a dozen notebooks which had like just two pages in them. Which had...
I absolutely despair of finding old notebooks, because it's always like just like three words written down. Well, what the fuck does that mean? Helen Mirren's knee.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what joke did I have about Helen Mirren's knee? I don't fucking know.
I had...
So
Often mine, yeah. when I find stuff like that, it's just like, it's a description of a news story that I thought I could probably make something out of. Like the one thing I can remember from the last notebook that I found was, it just said, news story, Geordies went to Safari Park, got chased by monkeys. And I was like, well, surely there must be some kind of story I can manage to make out of that. And it was just, clearly it was like a 15, 20 year old notebook. So I was like, oh, I'm sure there must be something in there I can come up with from it. And no, I never can. I never can at all. It always has to be shit that I've done that's gone badly wrong. Oh, that's the only way I can.
Yeah. There you go. You've summed me up there while summing yourself up. That's literally all I can do. I try to write about other things, but unfortunately, I'm just too interesting.
I'm
absolutely riveting to me.
I find myself so interesting. Mm. I can't imagine what it must be like to have to... Oh, it's these comedians who make stuff up.
Bullshit. Yeah. Quite a lot of bullshit.
No. Yeah, absolutely. Get out there and lose friends, you loser.
Yeah, you can't.
Be like me.
I'm going to add now to your profile. So... because that was some lovely stuff there about your bookkeeping, lack of skills, and just lack of skills generally. But please keep in mind what the question actually was. So
which are you best at? Well, in
great
order,
shag.
So yeah, in great order, shag. Yeah,
yeah,
in order of fuck, marry, kill. Yeah, fucking probably the best. Fighting is... It was really a toss-up between the fucking and fighting. As to it which I'm best at. Yeah, it really is. So those two... But it is very much in that order, and then trailing way behind is bookkeeping.
It's always disappointing when someone wants to pick a fight on me, because... my smooth line to get out of it never really comes across as smooth. It goes, hey, I'm a wanker, not a fighter. It doesn't sound as good, but it's true. So, you know.
Yeah.
Now,
It would certainly put me off.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it's...
I don't want to be anywhere near your hands.
Yeah. or any part of me, really.
Yeah, now I have that information. I will stay away. I don't want a handshake. No. I'm sure you are very good at it. But
that would be my follow-up line. Go, what? You wank with your hands? That would just be confusing. Bethany Black, do you like Marmite?
I did. I mean, I can take it or leave it, but yeah, I do quite like it.
You know, I think we might be soulmates. Because I think I'm so fucking contrary.
Yeah.
That I just think Marmite's fine.
Yeah, Marmite's all right. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, I'll have it. I've got a jar in the house. I quite enjoy it when the time comes. And I go, oh, yeah, I'll have a bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a jar in the house. It will definitely still be there in 18 months' time. Doesn't mean I don't like it. I've just had enough for now.
Yeah. And at some point in the future, I'll go, oh, do you know what I missed? Do you know what I've not had for ages? I've not had Marmite on toast for a bit. I should have some of that. And then for about 3 or 4 days, I'll have Marmite on toast. And I go,
probably happen is I'll run out of some sort of vegan spread thing, which is the most depressing thing that you could put on anything anyway.
Vegan spread. Then I'll go, they've really done the marketing well on that, haven't they?
Yeah. Soylent Grey, as I call it, and then I'll go, oh fuck it, I'll just put Marmite on, and I'll go, oh, Marmite's quite nice, and then I'll have forgotten that by 20 minutes.
Just as a question to you, to throw this back over to you, and I know that you're a contrarian, and I know that you love getting angry. You don't love getting angry. I know that you get very angry about things. I know you get angry about. Especially about things becoming incredibly popular. How are you coping with all of the fantastic vegan options that are out there now that have not been around for most of your life? Because I'm furious about it.
Here's the thing. I do like crap food.
Yeah.
So that was a very hard thing, really, that happened to me when I first decided to go vegan. It was like, oh god, everything I eat is delicious and lovely,
Yeah.
I want something fucking horrible. Right? Luckily now, you can't move for fucking horrible vegan food.
Do you know what I had this morning? I had a vegan pepperami.
Oh, I've had vegan pepperami, yeah.
Yeah, I had one of them this morning. I was like, this is exactly what I needed. This is precisely the kind of shit food that I need. And the thing that gets me now is the amount of places that I go to where they now have too much choice. It was so much easier when there was one thing on the menu, possibly. And now, I'm just
There's the world of vegan cheese, because there used to be none, and then there was one.
Yeah.
And now there's a billion, and they're all different types. But the good thing is they've kept to the true to the roots, because all the different flavors taste exactly the same.
They do. They do. So even the Applewood one. Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so I love that. Good.
That was a far better answer than I could have dreamt of. I was honestly thinking, well, you know, no one else just thinks Marmite's fine. Who cares?
It's fine. Like...
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, again, I'm very emotional about this episode. I don't think I'm going to do any more of these.
I think we've possibly broken the leg hole.
I think the leg hole and the hole of the leg.
Yeah. Cement it up. We're done here.
Yeah. Yeah. Please.
Tarmac it. Yeah. Fill it in. Tarmac over it. Done.
Mm-hmm. Bethany Black, here is question number 8.
Amazing.
In the film of your life.
Yes.
Which football team would play the part of you?
Oh, which football team? Oh, that's a good one.
Football's not something I generally relate to, but obviously I do relate to repeated loss.
Yeah, that's it. Whereas, because I was thinking maybe the American women's team.
They don't lose.
They've won. They've actually won the World Cup.
I knew that. I knew that. That's like sport thing I knew.
Yeah, that's like one of the three sports things I know. I get mad at people going, why? You're a comedian. Why do you care about sport? This is why we did this, to get away from people who thought about that all the time. What's wrong with you?
I was I was very upset the other day that Northern Ireland got beaten. I think it was 5-0.
Oh, no.
It's quite depressing, by the bastard English.
Oh, so, I can only apologise on behalf of my country yet again.
Finally,
I spend a lot,
have an apology.
I spend a lot of time apologising to various people from around the world for shit that the English have done. To the point that my wife, who's Swedish, we would have been sat chatting, and when she asks about why some world thing is so terrible, and I sigh and she goes, oh, God, don't say it. And I'm, well, oh, please don't say it. It's like, the British Empire. And every single time she's like, of course it fucking is. What's wrong with you people? It's like, hey, you were doing it 500 years before. She's like, yeah, and we fucked off. And we've kept a low profile ever since. We're fully aware of what we did. And now we make furniture. And,
You know. Exactly.
There's
a sense of decorum and decoration about that,
and
you know.
And the reason why I think the American women's soccer team, and I will continue to say soccer on account of winding people up. I mean, you did say football team. I could have gone for the Dallas Cowboys.
You could have.
But no,
you still can.
I think I'd go for the American women's soccer team on account of they had one big success, and they don't get the credit that they deserve because people don't take what they do particularly seriously. And I think that kind of sums up my career in a nutshell.
But don't forget, they're also winners, so I'm putting down winner.
Yeah.
You're Michael's winner. Oh, God, that sounds horrible. Any mention of Michael Winner on anything?
It always goes and brings the tone. Literally, the only thing that you can ever go. Hang on. To be fair to Michael Winner, right, the one and only thing where I feel like you can do that. He did go and defend a group of lesbians against Richard Littlejohn on a late night talk show that Richard Littlejohn did in the late 1980s.
Well, there you go. Let's have a minute just getting on with our lives in remembrance of Michael Winner. So, Bethany Black, here we are. Yes. This is question number 9, which means it's the last question that is written specially for you.
Thank you.
But thank you.
Especially for you. Can't do any more of that.
That's going to come out again, isn't it?
It is, clearly.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. Bethany Blank, what thing, and this may have already been answered, actually, to be fair, what thing do you break most often?
Oh, what thing do I break most often? Wind?
Fucking hell. I didn't know. How did I write that question and not think about wind? It is literally almost all I am.
Yeah, exactly. Years of vegan and vegetarian diet has just... Sure. has made me, I am 80% gas. I am like Jupiter in human form.
Yeah. The physical object that I break most often is toilet seats. I break easily, I break 3 toilet seats a year, I reckon.
Wow.
That's a lot, isn't it?
That is a lot. I think I've broken one.
Really?
Two I've broken. I broke one with my face whilst I was drunk.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I've not done that yet.
At a comedian's house party, I was about to be very sick. And it was back when I still drank alcohol.
You forgot to lift the lid?
I lifted the lid, but I just I approached it a little bit too quickly and just managed to snap the front half of it off. Yeah. I managed to hit it really hard with the side of my face.
Do you know, I once got bitten by a toilet seat.
I read your blog about that.
Yeah, I got bit by a toilet seat in the Cardiff Glee.
Fucking hell, yes.
Yeah, it was really sore. It had a split in it, and I didn't know. And I sat and I went, fuck! So I got bit by this. God, I'm fucking blood pissed out my leg. Yeah. Well,
I'm so sorry.
It wasn't a nice thing, actually.
I know, I'm so sorry.
I hadn't had my shot.
And God, you know, you needed them after that.
That toilet was put down. So, is it funny now? No.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. That poor toilet.
It was Old Yeller, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's also a good description.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So I've already broken my toilet seat in my house this year. I mean, yeah. I literally replaced it, I think, in February.
Yeah.
It's broken already.
It's broken already. Is it is it the lid or the rim, or is it that
the seat breaks off. Literally, you know, the screws at the back.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I somehow have the power. And also I broke a toilet seat in a train station in Nottingham also this year. That's two, and there's another one coming. Who knows?
Are you just really violently putting them down, or is it?
I've realized this only over the last 5 years. I don't know how to sit on a toilet, but I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Are you standing? Are you putting your feet on each side of it and squatting? Is that what you're doing? Is that what's causing it to break?
No, do you know what? I think I sit on... Listen, I feel a bit weird telling you this. I'm only going to tell you.
Okay, only tell me.
I think I sit on a toilet seat slightly side saddle.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, so I wonder, is that the problem? I think that I sit on a toilet off to one side.
Yeah, and if you're sitting over to, it was really weird. It was only, actually acting, doing TV acting, that I realised quite how badly I just lean on one leg most of the time. And I became aware of that and was, sitting down, and they're like, no, can you just lean over to the other side? I'm like, I'm sitting up straight. And then moving over so that I felt like I was, leaning off to the right. And realizing I was sitting up straight at that point.
Do you know what my good friend Paul used to do? He doesn't do it anymore. But when I first met him, he used to do this all the time. You know when you're standing, but you're relaxed, so you might put your hands on your hips?
Yeah.
Something like that. He used to put his hand on his knee while standing up. And it was honestly the weirdest thing. That looks so uncomfortable. Why are you doing that? And he went, what? I'm just, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Why are you standing in that really awkward...
Like a 1960s dolly bird.
It's like if you met Bruce Forsyth and he was already doing that weird pose that he used to generate. Like, what? Doing that.
So it wasn't like he just bent over and put his hand on his knee as if, like, I'm leaning in to tell you a funny story. He had one leg up.
I'm waiting on a bus, so here I am with my hand on my knee.
Right.
It was weird. Yeah.
Jeez.
But the good thing is he doesn't do that anymore. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Unless he lost an arm.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Oh, he doesn't do that anymore. Bethany Black, legs. My exactly.
Oh, jeez. This took a turn for the dark quickly.
Yeah. Wow. No, 43 minutes. You kidding me? That's not quick. It's breaking my heart to say this, but this is the last question. Here we go. Oh. This is the final question, and what a poser it is.
What a question. Oh.
Yeah. Bethany Black.
Yes.
What is leg hole?
Oh. Mm. I mean, that is the eternal question, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone gets it, so yeah.
Yeah. What is leg hole? Leg hole is...
The only person to successfully answer it so far has been our guest, Dan Mersch.
Oh.
He replied, I don't think you've got anything, mate.
Leg hole is the gap. It is liminal space, isn't it? Here we go. I can be a complete fucking wanker and use my cultural studies degree. Mm-hmm. Leg hole is the Lacanian notion of the real. It is the thing that goes and hides in between what you're seeing and how you would describe it. It is the point at which you go and translate what you're seeing into language to go and explain it to other people. It is indescribable. It's something that we're all aware of, and it makes us feel uneasy to be around it when we get close to it. And as a result of that, we have to find ways to talk about it without ever really fully explaining what it is. That is what the leg hole is. That's what it is to me.
I've written down, as soon as you said about your degree, I wrote down intelligent, but...
And then you listened to what I said.
Yeah, and then I listened, and I'm definitely putting the final part of your profile, a science lady. There we go. Bethany Black, thank you so much. I'm so glad you've fallen in to the leg hole. I'm going to now look over your profile. I'm going to tell you exactly who you are.
Brilliant. Is it you doing this, or are you feeding it through a computer or anything? Or
oh no, I've written it on the back of an O2 bill.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So here we go. Which is brilliant because I'm not with O2. So yeah. Good on them for billing me.
So yeah. So poor whoever's bill that is.
Yeah. So Bethany Black, you hate all comedians. You're adorable. Yeah. You're double adorable. You're really kind. You're older than Homer. Busy. Studious. Very tidy, fucking clumsy, a great shag, my soulmate, you're sorry, you're a winner, you're gassy, you're intelligent, and you're a science lady. And all of those things come together to make up the lovely Bethany Black. We all applaud now. We all applaud Bethany Black. Mate, you are very welcome to fall into this cesspit of nonsense anytime you want. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners at home, for listening. Until next time, bye-bye! Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.